שלום לכם, תודה שאתם מצטרפים אלינו.
Hello and thanks for joining us on the New Life Show with Dr. Michael Lightman. Hello Dr. Lightman. Hello everyone. Hello Nitzan Mazoz. Hello. And today we'd like to talk to Dr. Lightman about communication blocks. Something that blocks our communication. What stands in our way of properly communicating with one another and how can we overcome it? Nitza, please. Yeah, it's a very interesting topic because we know that our entire life is actually a kind of communication. We're communicated all the time, interacting. And it's something that we discern, we know about it. Research says so, that there are many factors that are kind of block in the way of a good nearing kind of communication. Today we'd like to talk about what blocks our communication, what's the root, what causes our inability to connect in a good qualitative way with each other. Just in a few words, I can say what the research says, that, for example, selective hearing, meaning that a person hears what's comfortable for him to hear, what's good for him to hear, what serves him in the best way, and what doesn't, he doesn't hear it. Or personal interpretation. Every person interprets according to what he thinks he heard and so on. And this can lead to many different misunderstandings or different perceptions that I have that doesn't allow me to hear things differently than the way I see things. In short, there's a long list of things that do not allow good communication to take place. So first of all, we'd like to ask, what is the root? What is the basis out of which all of these blocks come from? The root of all of these blocks is the foundation of creation, the desire to receive pleasure. This desire, if it is on the still level, among the still, then it holds it together for them to keep the best, most convenient state for them. If it's the vegetative, then it already develops this force. It makes things blossom, advance toward better states, where it's possible to enjoy more, when it will grow, when it will blossom. If it's the animate level, then already have birth and the development of animate bodies, living bodies, one out of the other, and so on. And the human level, the so-called speaking level, that's boundless. Meaning the desire to receive pleasure that exists in the simplest atom that already consists out of two, plus and minus, electron and positron. It already compels creation to keep itself in the most convenient state. And therefore, when we appear as human beings that are so complex and intricate with their different psychological and philosophical methods and also past experience and everything, when we come to communicate with one another, then sure, there are big confusions, misunderstandings. Different methods of how we have to communicate with one another, but still, the very foundation for it all is that at every given moment, I want to benefit, to enjoy me, myself, and also my counterpart. And this is what brings us to communicate. The communication can be like between human beings, like between colleagues at work. It could be between a male and female. It could be between parents or children. There could be different levels of communication, different forms of communication, but always the communication, if it happens, it happens as a result of each and everyone consciously or subconsciously thinking about how to benefit my own situation. Internal, mental, physical, monetary, doesn't matter what. And therefore, there are many blocks, blockages. How does the desire to receive pleasure that exists in a person prevent him from connecting with someone else in a good, beneficial way? If I'm not sure that I'll be able to acquire something to enjoy as a result of the connection with that other person, so that prevents me from connecting, communicating with that other person, I keep my distance. And if I'm a politician, then all in all, it's measured by many different calculations. If I'm with my children, then there too. Why? How? What for? What do I want to get out of them? What kind of change do I want to see in their behavior and so on? If I'm with my family, with my wife, then there are even more complex, well, I wouldn't say complex calculations because they're pretty simple, but they're clear. Meaning, we always have these blockages, we always have different calculations, we don't simply connect with one another. No such thing. Because each of us, in and of himself, is made up of a very intricate system, and therefore does the math and scrutinizes how can he connect to another person in order to gain something from it. This is the very simplest result that has to be, how can I gain from the other person? Now, this is a subconscious mechanism. It's not that he sits and calculates, but there's an inner mechanism that a person is not even aware of that constantly examines, should I, shouldn't I? Is it beneficial? Isn't it? Does it serve me or doesn't it? Subconsciously, a person constantly makes these calculations, and if a person feels that a certain connection to another person, communication with another person does not serve me, then, you know, comes up the block. This what happens? Yeah. It's pretty simple, but it's pretty simplified, but actually that's how it is. You just said that each person he consists out of a very intricate system, and when we communicate with another person, each of us has a very intricate inner system in which each of us does the math, how can I benefit off the other person? Now, suppose you talked and I listened. What you explained here, does it mean that when I listen to you or to any other person, when you talk to me, then on the inside, there's this inner engine that's running? Yeah, you're examining, how can you enjoy me? Benefit from me, whether you want it or not. You're constantly examining, what am I listening for? Why am I sitting here? What can I gain from it? It is a program that is working all the time in any living body. Now, this inner program, I thought that it was actually supposed to open me up to communicate with you, because I all the time search and scrutinize how. Because seemingly, it sounds like it wasn't supposed to block our communication. To the contrary, to open it up, because I'm listening and I'm also looking for what can I get out of this. So why do you say that it's the basis for the blockages? Because first of all, what I look for is, can you harm me in any way, damage me somehow? I'm not thinking about the benefit, but first of all, I'm thinking about the possible harm. Should I keep my distance? Should I put up some blockage? Because you also have your different calculations. Will I be able to deal with what you're coming with or not? How can I invert the connection between us into my own benefit? It can be a mutual benefit, so be it. But am I certain that this communication with you is good for me? In general, we see that more and more the media blocks go and grow, the communication blocks. We're becoming more edgy, we're becoming more, because we're developing. Look at children. For them it's simple, they're as if open to each other in the sandbox or wherever they place. They're open, this is what I want, this is what he wants. They cry, they push each other around, this, that. But the calculation is nonetheless simple. Whereas we, when we start meeting with each other, when we start talking, and how we do it from afar, when we have some kind of gentleman talk, how are things, how's the weather, you know, distant things that aren't directly related to each of to any of us. What did you hear about this? What did you hear about that? Something neutral. Then we start maybe coming a bit closer to matters that concern us more directly, and to the measure to which I open myself and to the measure to which you open yourself up, we protect ourselves, keep ourselves. So, and who is that person that I'm connecting with? Man or a woman? That's very important in communication. What are we communicating for? Subconsciously, we examine this, or even consciously already. How can I benefit from this kind of communication? Or by connecting with someone, what does it give me? Is it a person that altogether I can turn them to my own benefit? Meaning, there's a series of plans that I can execute toward another person from a point where I had zero intention toward that person, and up to the point where I start using that person completely. You said that children that play in a sandbox, they're relatively open. Yeah, it's clear what each of them wants. I want this, he wants that, this is good, this isn't. Everything immediately works according to, it's immediately executed from thought to action. Okay, and as we grow up, as we mature, what blocks our communication? If as a child I was completely open, then as an adult I already have these different blocks, blockages. What happened? First of all, I want to protect myself. A child doesn't want to protect himself. No, a child doesn't have that protective system. I first and foremost want to protect myself, and so that the other person will not be able to harm me. And to the measure to which that person cannot harm me, I start building a system of communication with that person. That system of communication, first and foremost, is there to make sure that that person won't be able to harm me. And then, how can I get something for my own benefit out of that communication? I tried to examine, while you were talking, I tried to see what is going on inside of me. What I see is that I hear two voices. The one voice is what you're saying, but I hear a much stronger voice inside of me playing like a decoder, like an encoder. It's like coming through a buffer. What you're sending, it comes through a buffer, like MRI scanning it from all sides. So when we talk about communication or communication blocks, what stands in the way? How does it work? What blocks is that we don't understand each other, that each of us has a different goal, that each of us is afraid that the other person might use me, or they think that I must use them, and so on. There's a matter of a gradual, more inner communication that's more goal-oriented. If we understand that, we can be positive to each other, then that's a different kind of communication. That's a big problem, actually. The matter is simple. Man's will to receive needs to tell a person to prove to that person that it is beneficial for you to develop this communication with another person or not. I recall a talk that I had with a friend who told me in tears that her son, who's 5 years old, she has zero patience to listen to him. When he starts talking, she says, I lose my patience very quickly and I can't explain the heartache that I feel. He's the most precious thing to me in the world, and at the same time, I can't listen to him. So I'm trying to see, how does the desire to receive pleasure, her desire to receive pleasure, create this block that she can't listen to her child? What's going on there? It's a problem. I don't know what to say here, but surely the thing is that she does not feel any benefit from it. She does not expect to get any kind of innovation from it. She has no big, steady, important goal that she sees in it. Suppose I'd like to hear from my child about something, even about my neighbor, something that interests me. And the child, he talked to her, and so, if so, I'll listen. I have a goal through the child to get some kind of information about my neighbor. But if I'm not interested in it, then what can the child tell me? To begin with, I decrease the importance of communicating with them to zero, because it's clear to me that I won't get anything out of listening. Right? Meaning there's nothing new to get out of it. That's the thing. The measure to which I can enjoy connecting with another person, that's something that we talked about. So actually, there's some kind of perception that says that probably he'll tell me what he already said 100 times before, there's nothing new, and so spit it out and scram. That's actually what goes on. Now, it's possible that the block is in me, that I'm not trying to look for anything new. These are already reasons, outcomes. Suppose instead of the child, there's your husband. So you relate to that differently. Because this is for the long run. You can ruin your relationship or something or benefit it and so on. But still, it all depends on your appreciation of it's a level of communication with that person. So how do you overcome the block? We understand that there is a block to raise the importance. Importance of what? Of the connection. What is the importance of, how can raising the importance of the connection with the other person, could be a child, could be a grown-up, how increasing the measure of connection influences me, my fate, destiny, and the measure to which I can enjoy it. I'm as if talking on your part. How much can I enjoy it, and then how do I treat the opportunity to connect with that person? What are the advantages? Previously, you said beautifully how every person has some kind of protective system, that there are like these two systems here. First of all, what can harm me? Here I take off probably 80% of, you know, it doesn't cross the barrier. And the other block is, does it benefit me? And maybe that could fall off on the next block. So there are a few blocks on the way. Now, how can I rise above this block? You said raise the importance of the connection. Now, if the connection will be important to me, then actually I'll have some kind of inner interest to rise above it, to make some kind of inner effort. So there are many different kinds of connections that are important to me, like a teenager at home that I can't communicate with, my daughter, for example. The connection with her is extremely important, but still the blocks are there, so you're not preparing yourself to correctly communicate. So that's the question. How can I prepare myself to correctly communicate? Importance. That's the problem. You have to increase the measure of importance. That, suppose, if this will happen, it's very important for me that she will understand this and that. For example, I have these two goals that I set, and it's very important for me that she understands whatever, and it's important for me to understand something that she wants to explain. So I have two pieces of information to implant in her and to get two pieces of information from her. So you're setting a very clear goal. What do I want to get out of the communication with her? Yeah, to really plant it in her. Okay, this is something very tangible, practical. Oh, we can go even further. When I get this knowledge from her, do I want for me to know that she is conveying some important information to me and that it helps us mutually connect, or some third party? And I, when I talk to her, that it's important for me to explain to her, not unknowingly, that I'm implanting some piece of information, but that she'll know that what I'm passing on to her, that she will use this information in a special way toward a special person and so on. I want to give an example from a different field. A boss and his employee. The situation between them usually is that the boss tells the employee to do something, and the employee usually doesn't correctly understand him. Why? Because the employee always deciphers it to himself differently than what the boss meant. So the incorrect interpretation blocks the communication. So how is it possible to overcome the incorrect interpretation? They have to act this situation, this scene of their communication, have to act it out in both directions, that the employee, after he hears, and the manager, after he talked and also listened to whatever response the employee has, that they switched roles, meaning, and this is how they'll examine themselves. What do you mean? That the employee will go back, will repeat what the manager told him simply in a way that he would say it and would even explain and prove that what's so important, that it's so important to realize, why is it so important to realize this order and so on. And then that person who has to carry it out, besides going over the words, repeating the words of his boss, he explains how is he going to do it, but not in the way that he's going to do it, but in the way that the boss wants for him to understand it. Each of them will clothe in the other person. What does this exercise build in each of them? Communication. Communication. It's a beautiful exercise. I mean, it's like switching roles. Now I'm the boss. This is exactly what happens in a communication system, that I need to act out the other side who's receiving from me, and the other side has to act out the same role of myself, the measure to which I pass this on to him. Suppose each of the sides in the communication has a different interest, so how will he be able to dress in the other person? So we'll scrutinize it while we're communicating, because I examine the other person to the measure to which he understands me, to the measure to which he understands my situation, what I demand of him, what do I form before him. After we examine, scrutinize exactly what do we do, we even have to write down that which we have achieved in the communication between us, and then we'll have no misunderstandings after that, to even sign on it. that this is what the boss is demanding of me, this is what I understood, and this is what I'm going to do. I write it down. And my boss even signs for it that I correctly understood, and then I go and do it. They both have to dress in each other? Yes. So from the manager's side, he came and gave his directions. I'm not sure that I heard his orders. You as an employee. Right. So what do you do as an employee? I have to see. What did I hear from him? I have to clothe in the boss the way he says it to me. What is his goal? What is he passing on to me? What does he want to get out of this action? And the boss examines these things that I'm saying, and if he really agrees with everything that I said, then we're already halfway there. This is especially on part of the worker. Does the manager have to also do the same? He has to understand that I correctly understood. No, he only makes sure. Okay, so he only makes sure that I understood correctly. And there too, he examines himself. Is what he's giving or passing on to me, is it rational? Is it possible altogether? Unfortunately, our time's almost up. Going back to the teenager and the mother, the teenage girl and the mother, that they had some kind of blockage between them, what exercise could we use there? To clothe in each other, the mother has to clothe in the teenager, and she has the teenager. The teenage girl has to clothe in the mother, otherwise there's no communication. What do they do? The way they're communicating is that each is on her own level and they never meet. You know, they're only misunderstandings. So what is the exercise? The teenage girl is talking like the mother, but dead serious. She's acting like her mother. And then as a mother, she's explaining what does the mother have to tell her in what way about what. And the mother has to clothe in that teenage girl and this way to express herself. What does she expect of the mother, who's now the teenage girl? We talked about communication blocks. What is the general advice of how to overcome all these blocks? Very simple. In order for there to be communication, each has to be incorporated with the other, integrated with the other person, in the other person. Thank you very much. And thank you for being with us. And until next time, all the best.